Hi, everybody.
Oh, my God, you came. Thank you.
Are you ready to rock?
San Francisco, oh, what is happening?
Oh, my God. I think they're ready to rock.
Oh.
What a stupid fucking thing to put in your trailer.
Yeah, I can't.
Anyone notice that the website you can go to find out more about The Rock is www.movies.com?
Did you follow that up, dude?
I did not.
Still live?
I didn't check it out, sadly. Nothing doing.
Is that the first website?
No, sex.com was first.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, then movies.com. Yeah, okay.
My name is Andrew Jupin.
I'm Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Sadak.
And we are We Hate Movies from New York City. How y'all doing this evening? Good, good, good.
Hi.
Like that trailer told you, bye screen, bye.
Oh.
We're here this evening to talk about The Rock from 1996, directed by Michael Bay. How many of you fine folk out there saw this movie before we announced this show?
No. Hand raising. It's good.
Now we're talking.
That might be 100.
It was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, serious. This
summer 96, you were rock hard.
This is a Criterion movie, man.
Yeah, I have it on Criterion.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
Standard def DVD. And that shit's not going anywhere. That is on a shelf, covered in dust, hasn't been watched in 15 years.
Unlike Armageddon, though, it doesn't have a drunk Ben Affleck talking about how much he hates Michael Bay.
They should just put that on The Rock commentary.
It's just in the middle of it.
All of Michael Bay's movies, like the ones you... He's like in the Turtles movie. This fucking shit sucks.
It's still Ben Affleck?
Yeah, no, he's drunk. He's drunk talking over all of his movies.
Why are they horny? Why?
Is that Walter Matthau?
Why are these mutated turtles so darn horny?
That, you know, honestly, like, if Sean Connery passed, if it was Walter Matthau instead.
Yes. Welcome to The Rock. I had the blueprints in my head. He's crazy. Like, that's the difference in old guys, right? Like, Connery says it, you're like, fuck yeah. If Walter Matthau said that, you'd be like, put that dude in a home.
I feel a lot like Alcimedes, my old drinking buddy.
No, like, set this in the 70s and then have it like Jack Lemmon is Stanley Goodspeed.
Oh, fuck. Well, I'm Stanley Goodspeed.
Directed by Billy Wilder, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Billy Wilder's The Rock. Ooh. How many of you guys are familiar with the show we run on the internet? Very cool.
Oh, that's nice.
So if there's any first-timers out there, if you're here on like a bad date, like we always try to say...
Apologies. You
know, apologies in advance. It might get a little gross.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to get
dirty. If you're here like with a parent, that sucks for you.
Yeah.
It's going to be really uncomfortable. But yeah, so we're just going to go through the movie and kind of make fun of it with everybody this evening. Sound good?
Yeah,
cool.
This is a We Love Movies, by the way.
It is, yeah. Technically, yes. Yeah.
Throwing that out there, unless someone's like, oh, what the fuck? The Rock is great!
They're correct.
Gonna throw a rock at them!
Well, this movie's a local legend, right?
It is.
It's like the Citial movie?
Citial?
What?
Sure.
You want to use municipal there, I think, a little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a
parking
lot.
The Citial film.
Steve
He's crazy.
Steve is our Eric translator in house.
I'm helping him out. I was way into this movie as a little fat kid, right? Like this was just
of
like,
of course, they're saying dirty words.
They're saying dirty words. You could just like your eyes are on the screen and the Doritos are just kind of like.
This was a like multi-rent.
Oh,
like you rented it. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. You returned it, and then you re-rented it and watched it again. And your parents just kept thinking you were fucking nuts. Mother, he's watching that Rock movie again.
We start with like a war commercial. It's like a commercial for war.
NFL Monday Night Football is brought to you by War. Actually, that's kind of what it is now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, we start with the imprint of the devil's favorite sons, Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson. And Don Simpson died during this, snort his last line during this one. Oh, fuck, Kevin.
He gave his life for this movie.
He did. He was ready to go. Yeah.
Do you think they buried him out there, like on the island?
Yes.
Under a pile of rocks like Captain Kirk? Only to be found by birds weeks later?
Yeah, it's like Ed Harris. He's like getting dressed up. It's very similar to the scene of J.T. Walsh killing himself in A Few Good Men.
Yes, great cinematic suicide, yes. By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like top five.
You get all dressed up to the nines, and that's the end of the ball game. So it's like it's that, and it's like all of this like war memory stuff, and there's all these fireballs too. Like I don't know if it was like it was an assault on Bowser's Island or something. Yeah.
Well, that's what he served in Vietnam.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He led some strikes during the Gulf War.
Sure.
And he fucked up the Mushroom Kingdom. Firebombed.
That is what this movie's about, because he's all like the black ops soldiers who died in Koopa Land or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, sure.
All those paratroopers that didn't make it back.
And they lied about it, saying it was Vietnam or whatever.
Sure.
And now he wants them recognized, so he's going to do a real stupid thing to try to get that done.
Yeah. Well, this movie's really just about how America, like the American government, treats veterans poorly in just a really roundabout way. A roundabout, like driving in fucking circles to the gas tank runs out way of getting there.
Yeah, it's like this movie, we treat veterans badly, but veterans treat us badly too. Look at this goddamn general doing all this fucking shit.
Yeah, we treat veterans.
I think this dude is still active service, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. So
and shockingly, he's the best.
Yes. Don't
he's the best
the
general.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that George Washington. Yeah.
We treat generals badly. We don't threaten them with VX gas, though.
Oh, no. That's the big difference. Yeah, Ed Harris gets his little clammy hands on some of that, huh?
I love that he takes his wedding ring off before any of this stuff, like just in case he runs into some strange on the road.
Like, why like, not, you know, dude? You're a widower.
Yeah,
fuck
exactly.
His wife is dead. We see a shot of her grave, and it says his wife on it, so you know what's going on.
I want everybody to know the fucking score here.
Not beloved school teacher or like anything that she did. Maybe she was a daughter as well. Probably, assumedly, she had parents.
I think that's how that usually works.
It usually works.
It'll keep the ghost suitors away as well.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, you better not be dating in hell.
Yeah, I saw you take your wedding ring off, you piece of shit. What are you getting up to on that island?
That's just his wife is a ghost. Obviously.
Another one of your operations.
I love it. So he's like, you know, it's raining. It's like Michael Bay raining. And he's like giving this whole speech. Which is very different than regular rain, by the way. Very different.
It's heavy duty.
Yeah. And he's like, he puts his medal on the grave. And you know somebody's like,
speaking of no one's looking.
Totally, dude. The crypt keeper's coming by like, oh, another Purple Heart, huh?
This at the local pawn shop, that's next month's rent.
If the crypt keeper came up, it'd be a pun, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
The pun shop?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The pun shop.
A medal of horror, possibly.
Oh,
yeah.
Medal of horror. They actually get that for inflicting horror. The medal of honor, I mean.
Yeah, that's also true.
You know what, guys? This is proof in the pudding why the crypt keeper's a fucking professional.
Yeah.
We're up here struggling to find a pun. That puppet cranks those things out.
He writes things.
Yeah, he had a team of writers,
don't
man.
He write things.
Bruce Valanche wrote all of his best shit.
Wow. Yeah. Secret crypt keeper monologist?
Yes, absolutely.
That guy wears some cool glasses, that Bruce Valanche.
He does. We also...
You guys like cool glasses?
He's like, moving on.
Yeah.
Anyone like cool glasses? No, seriously. Don't be afraid.
We get, I guess...
That guy likes cool glasses.
Nick Cage was the first like proponent of eBay, I guess, is like the beginning of his character a little bit. Like, he's like, I got an album off the internet.
Mm-hmm. I paid $600 because I'm a Beatlemaniac.
Man, a grown adult referring to themselves as a Beatlemaniac.
Yeah, I'm a Beatlemaniac. I shot John Lennon.
He's the one true Beatlemaniac. There would have been two if that guy got away with Harrison.
Well, I think that guy was a Beatlemaniac. He just wasn't a successful Beatlemaniac.
Yeah, no. Oh, wow. You're a loser and a Beatlemaniac. Yes. That stinks.
He works as a chemical weapons whatever the fuck in FBI.
Chemical weapons super freak.
That's right.
Super freak.
And they get a package from Bosnia, and this is like a
scene. It's like going to Bosnian aid or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was delivered here. That's why they're dealing with it.
It literally says aid to Bosnia on right. the side.
It was like intercepted because there's fucking gas and shit in it.
Yeah.
Did you see the label on the box, though? It looks like one of the Little Rascals wrote it. There's like no less than two backwards E's.
Which, again, like, yeah, if you're trying to gas those fuckers, make it a little more professional looking. Yeah.
Totally. Don't write "no girls allowed" on it. That's dumb.
Not good.
They go in the gas room. They're wearing their fun little outfits there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, the little space suits.
Yeah.
It's like Outbreak. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody liked that. Somebody liked an Outbreak reference. This movie could have used some Dustin Hoffman, not for nothing.
Yeah. Oh, or a monkey.
Poor monkey. Sure.
I appreciate the lack of Kevin Spacey.
Yes. Although he bites it in that movie. That's kind of fun
to
watch.
That's a nice one.
The monkey?
Oh, yeah. He gets the outbreak.
He succumbs to the outbreak. Yeah,
it's pretty great.
He's one
Adios,
of the outbreaks.
Dude.
The outbreak in this is fantastic, too. When we get to it, that the VX
gas.
Yeah,
yes, that's pretty cool.
This poor soul turns into a Pizza Hut meat lover's.
Well, it's
and it's fantastic.
Oh, the guy when they're stealing the VX gas.
Yeah.
They have to steal all these access cards. And they've got all these like darts because they don't want to hurt military personnel. Meanwhile, people are plummeting 30 feet to their death. Like, I have two broken legs. Thanks for the dart.
It's okay. He's asleep. He's sleeping.
And they get all these access cards, but at the end, this the most dangerous chemical in the world is like held open by a master lock that they kind of cut open. Like it's the end of the day at the gym, and they got to cut it open.
Well, at the end of the day at the gym, you got to clean out a lot of gas.
Yeah.
These locker rooms, they get messy, man.
They do.
So there, wait, we kind of skipped over that. They're in this little bunker box trying to defuse this Bosnian baby. There's a little baby doll that starts spewing gas.
Oh, they pull a little like, Chucky doll, yeah.
There's pornography in the, which is, you know, that's nice humanitarian aid.
Yeah, huh?
It is. Maybe it'll open some minds,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the gas is not.
It's one of those, like,
pornography good.
You just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah.
That you don't support that.
Sarin gas bad.
Just pick one or the other is what I'm saying.
It's one of those like fake movie pornography things where he's holding up magazines that don't exist and he's just like, oh yeah, Ultra Galaxy Babes. And you're like, just say Playboy. Pay to say Playboy. You're Michael Bay. Jerry Bruckheimer's involved. Fucking license that. Fake pornography magazines are the worst in movies.
Oh, and this is also where we learn of the heart needles.
Oh, right.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Because everybody just saw Pulp Fiction, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So if you get exposed to this shit, you have 20 seconds to inject yourself in the heart with a huge needle.
Yes.
And here's the thing. If I'm a biomedical scientist and I'm in this situation, I will just let myself die.
Yeah.
Because there's no way I'm getting a huge needle into my chest. Absolutely not.
But you have to puncture it through your clothes, which has, like, fucking A, sarin gas on it, and B, B.O. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're getting a heart infection.
I'm getting poisoned by my own B.O. No!
I'm not like a medical guy, but I don't...
No shit!
I don't
really?
I don't understand how it like works, because like, okay, so you cut a hole into your heart, basically.
Yeah. Right.
Sure, then the good potion that Zelda made goes in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you pull it out.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You're just pissing blood.
Your heart comes out, like, oh shit.
Yeah, you're pissing blood, dude, but it's not the fun way.
Yeah, right. The fun way, yes. Of course.
It's a loony
This joke. Guy loves the fun way.
But it's like it's very emblematic of this entire movie. Like it's one problem, there's gas and it's all going bad. And two, now the water doesn't work. Like, come on, fucking FBI. Let's pay the bill.
This is just a huge critique of the American government, dude.
One of my
saying things.
One of my favorite lines is here is one of the ratty haired scientists. We're fucked.
And that guy, because that guy has like quickly already accepted death. He's just like, yeah, we're fucked.
Xander Berkeley's still trying to fight it out. This guy's like, nope, we're fucked.
Also, that is freshly divorced, is what that is. It's like he can turn the water. He's like, no, we're fucked. She's not coming back.
I spent $600 on a Beatles record. I'm a Beatle maniac, maybe.
Her car's gone. We're fucked.
She's got a new boyfriend now. We're fucked. We're fucked, y'all.
No, are you actually turning the water or pretending to be turning the water? We're fucked.
I believe y'all heard me the first time I said we're fucked.
And, you know, they solve the problem, which is a lot of fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That's fun. Yeah. That's
you're
nice.
Just, this is a straight up from The Simpsons, when are they getting the fireworks factory?
Yes, oh my God, it takes so long to get to the titular rock.
You're telling me this movie's called The Rock, everyone's saying, welcome to The Rock, and all that shit?
Yeah.
It's like 40 minutes till we're even hanging out.
They needed to do this to establish gas is bad.
And we're introduced to Sean Connery. Well, actually, no. Ed Harris calls up John Spencer, who's like the head of the FBI.
Yes.
And he's like, guess what? I got all these rockets and you're fucked.
And they're all arguing in this room. They're like, no, he's like the greatest general of all time. You had the wrong name. That can't be him. That can't be him. Oh, it's him.
I love this roundtable because it's like we're explaining the situation ad nauseum, and there's this one straw man guy who's like the what do you call it there, the White House chief of staff, who like gets everything wrong and is just like a little turd, and like you're supposed to hate him, which makes sense.
Ed Harris has to be like, how old are you? Oh, 33. Wow.
It's fucking hilarious because it's like the actual White House chief of staff now, Mick Mulvaney.
He looks a lot like him.
He looks exactly like him.
Right, yeah. But
and he's a piece of shit.
As well.
So it works. So
he makes a speech. He's like, hey, guess what? I've got all these hostages. I also have all these missiles. And I know you guys are screwed. So you have 2 days to get me $100 million. Bye. And the guy's like, well, how bad is it anyway if one of these things go in the atmosphere? And the other guy's like, oh, it's like 60 or 70. And he's like, well, that's not so bad. 1,000. 60 or 70,000.
You fucking idiots.
You are so fucking dumb. 1,000.
You can't change the rules on me after I react.
Hey, Steve.
Yo.
Do you like pizza?
Yeah, sure.
With fucking monkey shit on it, you gross asshole.
God damn it. Hey, Eric, do you like sex?
Yeah.
With children, you sick fuck! Oh, my God, you heard him! He said it! You can't do that! That's not how shit works!
The point is, if you're going to say a number, say the whole number at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's where we're getting at.
It's very rude to come down on somebody
yes.
for not letting you have, like, 10 seconds in between saying a number.
But before he did that, he's like, watch me burn this nerd. Oh, 60 or 70? 1,000?
This movie, all of their little, like, commiserating all takes place in some, like, dimly lit White House guest room.
Yeah.
This movie's really taking its time to get a president involved.
Yes.
And the dude has one scene at the end of the movie where he's, like, staring out the window, envisioning what his library is going to look like given this speech. Because he's like going to pull the thing on like killing all these people.
And it's the same president from Armageddon.
Cinematic universe, dude.
Cinematic universe, wow. I'm thinking. That's a hell of an administration.
Yeah, this dude dealt with a lot of atrocities.
It's incredible.
You know, I thought that whole Alcatraz thing was bad, but now the world literally ending.
The size of Texas? Whoa, baby. We're going to get a president to say, whoa, baby, in a movie like this. Gets a piece of information that's a bit startling to him. Whoa, baby.
Well, if the Russians ever release the tape, we can hear, whoa, baby.
Whoa. Whoa, baby.
Uh-huh. So they're like, okay, we're gonna send a bunch of Navy SEALs to get this guy. But how are they going to get on the rock? And this is when you start to understand that somebody's actually escaped Alcatraz.
Oh, shit.
What?
That's exciting, right?
Yeah. Fucking kidding me?
Yeah, but he's an old man.
Whoa.
And you have to find out that Philip Baker Hall gets up 3 times a night to take a piss. Which is also like, dude, we're at work.
Like, cool. I don't even know your bathroom habits.
I do that, but just for fun.
There's fun pee breaks, and then there's business pee breaks, which I also think are kind of fun, because business is fun. Me do business good.
We're introduced to Sean Connery, who at the beginning looks like he's starring in the Rob Zombie remake of The Rock.
Yeah.
He's as hairy as Chewbacca in this scene.
He's a bit of a hellbilly.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
The tiniest bit of a hellbilly.
Sure.
You're gonna dig through the ditches and burn through the witches.
slaying the back of my Dracula. White zombie, what the fuck? Oh, a living dead girl. Ah. So, Rob, you're telling me all you listen to is Leonard Skinner. Shouldn't have done this movie. No clown makeup, you fuck!
Dude, Sean Connery is a clown. Get me the fuck out of here.
Yikes.
I am leaving.
So you want a balloon animal, do you? Make it yourself.
I'm Sean Clownery the clown.
I don't do birthday parties. Shelter shaken, not stirred. Right, guy?
Come on, clown stuff.
Yeah. Oh, James Bond.
No, come down to the sewer with me.
Or you'll fucking float down here, motherfucker. Nice little paper boat you got there. Be a shame if I snatched it from you. Your stupid little raincoat.
We'll have fun, little one. Come here.
Again, better movie there, for sure. Yes.
Oh, there? I mean, definitely.
Much
I'd
more
take 3 hours of that shit. Yeah. So who's on this team of Ed Harris's? We got David Morse.
Yeah.
Yep. Tony Todd, God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
Who else there?
Bokeem Woodbine.
Bokeem Woodbine, of course. Great.
Tuco from Breaking Bad.
That's right. This is a solid-ass team.
Oh, and John C. McGinley from Scrubs. Back when he was like a heavy and not like a fun guy.
Yeah, that guy had an interesting turn. Now he's just like Mr. Silly Pants all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was in like Steven Seagal movies.
Yeah, Fire Down Below, I think.
He's drilling a dude to a desk in that movie.
Old man.
Not sexually, by the way.
No, physically with
like
actual
with a
power.
Drill. Yeah, it was like a torture thing. Although that could be either way. Yeah.
I like the idea of being like, hey, you want to watch John C. McGinley drill a guy to a desk? Do I? Oh, man. It's an action movie.
And Billy Bob Thornton's watching? Holy mighty.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, it is. No, it's not.
It's a great movie.
I do love that there's this... So his whole thing is like, I'm going to take over the Alcatraz, which is an impregnable fortress, I guess, and tell everyone where I am the entire time. Take hostages that don't matter.
I love that the hostages don't matter in this movie.
Yeah.
Because you avoid all of the shitty hostage things with movies like this. There's no thing about like, you know, some of us have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or like, there's not like a pregnant woman and she like goes into labor.
I don't know though. We could have paid a little more attention to the hostages. There could have been a pizza boat. Like right. A boat with all the pizzas
like
for everyone to eat.
Yeah. Ed Harris calling the White House, like, I need 500 pizzas immediately.
Well, we can get you 100. 100 pizzas.
Get aboard the SS Domino's?
Oh, fuck.
I hope you're insured.
Dude, that is a cruise where you need all bathrooms working for all days of the cruise.
Just a Domino's boat?
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man.
At the very least, I need 300 Blimpy sandwiches.
Oh, ew.
Oh, I think they're out of business.
Yeah. At the time, Blimpy's they weren't. Gone?
I thought they were
gone. They
were
gone. Fine in 96,
This
though,
might be an East Coast thing. You guys know Blimpies? Oh, maybe it's a West Coast thing. You got them?
Well, if you don't know, it's a fucking abhorrent institution where you get a submarine sandwich with mandatory toasting. Get the fuck out of here.
That's Quiznos, brother.
Oh, right, Quiznos. Oh, yeah. I apologize.
Slandering Blimpy.
I apologize to the Blimpy's estate.
You guys got
R.I.P.
You guys got Quiznos?
It's an abhorrent Subway sandwich shop where you are forced to toast your sandwich.
Sure. I want to go get a... You know, I'm not going to eat fast food. I'm just going to get a sandwich. I'm going to go to fucking Blimpy's. I'm gonna go to Fatso's.
I thought their light went out in the world.
Oh, honestly. Did
I really thought they were gone?
Is that what that Elton John song's about?
It is.
Like a candle in the wind.
Oh, I thought you meant the bitch is back. That's me walking into a Quiznos.
Screaming about fucking toasting shit. Yeah.
Here he comes again. Lock the door.
There are plenty of places you don't have to get it toasted. Go there.
He's going to ask for a comment card again. Don't give it to him.
Oh, shit, we're fresh out of those.
We're out of pencils.
You know who's weird in this movie is the park ranger who's like the tour guide at the beginning?
Oh, Park Ranger Bob.
Yeah, this dude's way too into his job for my taste.
You want him not to be into his job?
I don't know. Listen, you're like a tour guide.
It's a fucking island or something. There used to be prisoners.
I mean, there are people here in the cells.
He's acting like he's a fucking character at Disney World. Like, he's so into it. He comes into the big hallway and is like, and this is The Rock. I'm just like, dude, it was a jail. Like, people were murdered here. Definitely haunted.
I went to Alcatraz in preparation for this episode.
Sick, dude. The field research.
Straight, get the facts straight. And
yeah.
Big Alkies over here. But the park ranger we had didn't give a fuck, man.
Really?
It was refreshing, yeah.
It was serious business.
He was just talking. He's rambling about TV shows he liked.
Wait, all what?
All right. That's really bad. But follow-up question. Like, follow-up question. What is that dude watching? What's he binging these days?
He's like, anyone ever see The Prisoner, old British TV show? Anyway, these
No, come on. That's what he was talking about?
Yeah, there was some connection.
What, prisoners?
Yeah, like some actor was in a movie about Alcatraz or something.
Yeah, so season 6 of Buffy's where they really lost me. I guess back there is where Al Capone did something. I couldn't be bothered.
And then he was just like, bathrooms are over here. You can't smoke up there. Smoke over here.
You're allowed to smoke on Alcatraz? That's
pretty cool.
They got
a designated area.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Lots of places have designated areas.
I'm pretty impressed.
Quiznos?
You cannot smoke in a Quiznos. Believe me, I've tried.
Can you only smoke in the Birdman's cell?
I do like when Ed Harris goes up right before they siege the island. He goes up to like this tour group of kids. He's like, I want you to tell your teachers to leave right now. And like, no one's like, holy shit! Like, you know what I mean? Like,
also, that's a bad faith thing that he's doing right there, because 4 seconds later, they fucking take everybody hostage.
Yes.
Yeah. What are you doing? You're not giving a chance for anything. Do you know how long it takes to get a school group together? And also, to go anywhere with fucking children?
If I'm Tony Todd, I'm like, the little ones are the most valuable.
Exactly.
Get children, them back here. We need them.
If you need hostages, children make the best, because people care about them like an abhorrent amount.
Everybody knows that, Ed Harris. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. That's like two, like, us, kidnap us, no one's going to get
shot. Oh, my
shot.
God. No, they'll let us get shot right in the head.
Just kidnap a school bus. Suddenly you're getting money.
There's kids in the school bus, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're not just stealing a car. Just to be clear.
Yes, yes.
Would you drive a school bus?
Or download one?
Full of children?
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Would I drive a school bus full of children? Yeah. They wouldn't give me that job.
No, not with that mustache.
And I'm very irresponsible.
Yeah.
Sean Connery goes into an interview room. We find out Nicolas Cage's girlfriend in this movie is pregnant.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
We see him like learn the news. It takes a long time.
Big question about this scene. So like, he's had a rough day after that, like the doll with all the gas in its mouth,
almost dying.
Right. So he like takes the rest of the day off, which is pretty nice. It's a government job.
You think he's getting charged half a personal day?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. They're following it. There's a paper trail for this whole thing. But you see him sitting at home, and he's like, he's got his shirt off. And he's got like thigh out, and there's a guitar over his crotch. Is he naked?
Oh, absolutely.
100%. Listening to the Beatles?
Oh, yeah.
Beatlemaniac, dude.
Nice.
And I'm betting, because it's leather, I'm betting he's sticking a little bit.
Well, of course. You can't be naked on a leather couch.
No way.
Sorry.
No way.
You got to put a towel down.
That's what the original Death Wish is about.
But some people might like to stick.
Wait, hold on. Remind me of what that is in the original Death Wish. Charles Bronson's balls stick to a couch?
Yeah.
All right, couch, that's the last straw.
And then he starts walking around, like, waiting for couches to intimidate him? Yeah.
Provoking couches in the subway?
Yeah.
He sits down on a couch in Central Park.
Oh, don't do that. Oh, ew. Here's the thing. The scene needs, when he gets the news about pregnancy, it's a great opportunity for like a little physical joke here, because he's clearly naked under this fucking guitar. Mm. Right? So she says, I'm pregnant. He pulls a, what? And then you see his ass, like they cut back and his ass is there.
You're just writing fan fiction at this point.
Yeah.
Hey, man, why not?
And then his erection kabongs through the fucking guitar.
Kabongs, did you say?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like if you penetrate through the wood and out and then break the strings. I think it would make it sound a little something like the bomb.
I feel like we should ask Eric translator Steven Sadak what he thinks those are.
It's about a boner poking through a guitar.
Okay.
We just spent 2 minutes talking about it.
Okay.
Gently my guitar comes.
Oh, marriage police, pull over.
What a line.
You can't marry someone after that line, right? No. It's just like, no, we're not doing that.
So you told him you were pregnant.
Yeah.
And then you said you should get married, and you proposed to him. And then he said, what? Marriage police, pull over. Yeah, walk away.
Yeah.
Turn around.
Yeah, I'm pulling over to the fucking curb, asshole.
Totally. And ditch that Beatlemaniac.
Oh, you're fucked. You said pull over? You're fucked. That's what I did.
Should have pulled out.
Yeah,
it's a little late for that now.
Uh-huh.
And that's only 99% effective.
Is it that high?
Yeah, it's really good.
Wow.
It's real easy, man.
Catholic school education, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
No, it works. It works.
Just pull out and say a little prayer. What?
Then they start having like robe sex on his roof, by the way, because they're like celebrating.
R-O-B-E.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought I heard R-O-G-U-E. And I
was rogue?
I was like, what's rogue sex?
We're going rogue! Get in!
I'm going to put on a little eye mask, and then we're going to have sex.
Stanley, you can just call it anal, you know.
Fucking come on, bro.
We have a meet and greet afterwards, and no one's coming. Like, yeah, I'm not meeting. I'm not shaking that guy's hand.
So when they're having sex here, you might notice, if you pay attention to the mise-en-scène of the film,
yeah,
there's like 1,000 candles lit behind them.
Totally. Speaking of Elton John.
That is a lot of prep work.
It is, and it's hard to, like, remain in the moment when that's happening. Like, it's starting to happen, like, oh, cool, let me just light 200 candles.
No, just wait, we're almost there. 163. 164.
Hey, honey, they're fucking on the roof again. I see all the candles lit.
We are go for candles. Honey, get the binoculars. We are go for candles.
That hot couple's having sex across the way.
They're going rogue. Look at it.
He gets called over. He's like, hey, man, you got to be in this movie. He's like, what movie? Like, oh, it's The Rock. We'll explain on the way. He's like, all right, cool.
Like, trust us, Stanley Goodspeed. It's going to take another 30 minutes, but eventually we will be at The Rock. We just have to have a couple more things and then a car chase.
Ed Harris is there. You know Ed Harris, right? He was in The Right Stuff.
He was in The Right Stuff.
We go to an interview room where Sean Connery needs to be persuaded to help them because he's the only one who knows how to get onto The Rock successfully. Mm. So
they should have asked Clint Eastwood.
Mm.
Didn't he break out in that movie?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah. So it wasn't just a clever name. It was actually...
It was like very...
I never saw it.
Weirdly literal of that name. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Clint Eastwood. Check it out.
Add it to the old watch list. It's
you get, and now this is when like we're trying to, we understand that he's got some secret thing going on with John Spencer, which involves aliens, and we'll get to that. Uh-huh. But
it's my favorite part of the movie.
And like he's like really secretive about what's going on. He doesn't want to be in the movie very clearly. He's like, Sean, I don't want to be in that movie. Yeah. You're not getting me out of fucking bed for that.
Gotta wait for something better to come along, like The Matrix. Oops, I turned that down too. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Right around the corner.
You know what? Fuck it, I'm retired. William Forsythe is in this movie. It looks like he just walked off the set of fucking Tombstone with this mustache and the slicked back hair. It's kind of gross.
It was like an 1870s cowboy.
Yes.
And then they just put a suit on him.
Surprisingly, though, William Forsythe, great actor, not playing a scumbag in this movie. Not even a secret scumbag.
Well, we don't know his personal life, really.
No,
but like,
true.
I was misremembering, I hadn't seen this movie in a really long time, I was misremembering that he was like crooked at the end.
Oh, no.
He's a bit of a turncoat.
No, he's like best buds with Cage. I kind of ship that, by the way. Like
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
What?
You know, ship it.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah. Like FedEx?
Yeah. No.
Something
yeah, like
you
that. Worship it. You're it's a big fan of being friends with Nicolas Cage.
No, it's like I want to watch them fuck.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's an internet term.
That's what that means?
Yeah. You ship it. You want to watch them fuck.
Right.
What's stanning?
That means that's like you're a big fan of something.
Oh, I got to get a glossary for this internet shit.
So shipping is like, it's like slash fiction, but you don't write out like insertion and all that. You're just like, I like them both together.
Yeah, I mean, it can go either way. It could be wholesome or it can get fucky.
Really? You get fucky.
You can get fucky.
All right.
In what capacity?
Well,
are you writing things down?
What website is this? Movies.com?
A Deviant Art?
It's Deviant Art, right?
You'll never believe what Homer Simpson and Lois Griffin
get
up to.
What, and what's this stuff called, like Mpreg or whatever?
Oh, that's just that's what you get a man.
Wait,
hold on.
Huh?
This is a teaching show.
Yes, that's right.
Before I continue, anyone who wants to leave can leave right now.
Yeah.
Wait, you said Mpeg?
Mpreg. Yeah. Now, that's when a man becomes pregnant through supernatural means.
Oh, like ghost fucking? Yeah.
Well, no.
No,
just
like me, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and my hit film, Junior.
Oh.
I was the first Mpreg.
I don't know that that's supernatural so much as it's scientific.
Danny DeVito put a baby in his belly.
Yeah, but he explained on the little thing where he was going to do it. I think you need to rewatch Junior.
We're
100% medically accurate.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that was Human Centipede. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The documentary Junior.
Where he was going to do it, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh. So what are the common M-pregs, right?
No, I'm not. Well, there's a lot of, like, I think Mario's involved in a lot of them.
Mario?
Yeah, Mario.
Oh, fucking, he's not married, dude. Mama Mario's going to have a problem with that.
Waluigi shows up a couple times.
Captain Kirk probably.
Oh, definitely.
Right? He's busting out babies.
Spock, it's our baby.
Yeah, but that's an easy one. You go to a planet, now I'm pregnant. You know, that's how that goes.
I couldn't be happier that we're talking about this.
So. You're just jealous you didn't bring it up, dude.
Impregnable Fortress, The Rock.
Thank you.
There we go.
Ooh. Way to spin the wheel, buddy.
Back to it.
Yes. So William Forsythe strikes out. Nicolas Cage is like, hey, let's do this thing. You want to be in this movie? Let's get this movie started, kind of a thing.
And it's also they tantalize him with the same deal they fakely give to Hannibal Lecter, which is like, you're gonna get out. It's gonna be totally fine. We're gonna put you up someplace.
He's like, all right, I'll have to consider it at a fancy hotel.
Well, no. First, he's like, this makes me think of Alcimedes. Oh God. Okay, who's Alcimedes? why do I need to know who Alcimedes is? Okay.
Says William Forsythe and 85% of the people who saw that in theaters.
And myself.
Me too. I still don't know. And they explained it in the movie.
He's an old man. He's been caged up forever. He hasn't been able to talk. He wants to ramble.
So that's
part of the deal, right? He's got to ramble about Alcimedes and whatnot.
William Forsythe throws him a quarter, and it sounds like fucking Excalibur. The Foley artistry in this movie is nuts.
It's bayed up to like 13.
Exactly.
It's really tough.
Can you make that quarter explode by any chance? What if there was a lot of gasoline on that quarter, and we flicked it, it exploded?
Oh no, my quarter exploded. Luckily, there's 1-800-COLLECT, 1996.
How did he avoid doing those, by the way? You'd think they'd get him to do them.
Carrot Top was doing them, right?
Carrot Top and Sean Connery don't have a lot in common.
But I want to see M-pregs of both of them.
Oh no, I've been M-pregged.
Who do you want to see give him it?
I don't want to talk about it. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I would say
Roger Moore. You know what? Roger Moore.
Oh. Okay.
If we're going to do it, Roger Moore. Okay.
Super Bond Baby.
Super Bond Baby. Uh-huh.
Super Bond Bond.
Wait a second. And then when the baby comes out, it's just Timothy Dalton.
Right?
Yes.
And you see it grow up, and it goes to school, and the headmaster is George Lazenby, and he makes friends with Pierce Brosnan, and it's a whole weird fucking Bond cartoon world. Daniel Craig's the jock.
And he's always coming out of the pool. So he throws his quarter, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right, I'm going to go to this hotel. For no reason, he's like, Sean Connery is already planning on escaping, but he has to cut open the fucking interrogation window and break it. And with my favorite line, Womack, I should have known it was you. You piece of shit. He is cursing in this movie to an uncomfortable degree.
It's when you realize that it's exactly what the James Bond movies need. Is yes. Him calling people a fucking piece of shit. Because it sounds so hilarious every time.
Eat my ass, Dr. No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, Goldfinger, I should have known it was you. You fucking piece of shit. It just is better.
That garbage brain Thunderball.
Hey, Moneypenny, want to go fuck in a back alley? Yeah, I'm not as charming in this version at all. No double entendres, let's fuck!
Hey, Q, last Saturday me and Moneypenny went rogue.
But don't worry, I pulled out.
99%, man, 99% of the time it's okay.
That's good.
So they take her to this fucking hotel, and he's like, I need a haircut to... Just because, like, just don't even bother with the haircut part. You know what I mean? Like,
he didn't need a haircut in Medicine Man. It's the exact same fucking haircut in that movie.
Yeah, he just needs a ponytail like he has in Medicine Man.
It looks pretty gosh darn sharp.
It's fantastic. Mm.
This is when he starts, like, Beverly Hills Cop pranking the police. Like, he calls up for room service, which is kind of hilarious.
While singing in the shower, by the way.
Yeah. You notice that they film Sean Connery like from the neck up, always like a bad MySpace photo, because you know it's just kind of round down there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, I've been grizzled in prison for a very long time, but I, yeah, just right up here, Michael.
Yes. Now, if you take
eyes up here, please.
Also, if you take any photos tonight, same principle.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
up here.
Just get the lights. I think is fine.
Maybe the floor, your shoes.
Saw a great We Hate Movie show tonight. Black curtains.
And, so he's...
Got any snacks? Drinks? Lobsters?
He's ordering a bunch of shit!
It's
this
insane. Bread
is hilarious. It's like shit Kevin McAllister would order.
I made my family disappear.
Love it.
A cheese pizza just for me.
Credit card? You got it. Which he's definitely said exactly like that 1,000 times.
I also feel like if you're at room service and someone's like, hello, this is how I actually talk. Can I get a lot of expensive room service? Like, yeah, nice try, asshole.
And you got to bill it to the FBI.
No way is that working.
Find it under Seymour Butts. That's my agent name.
Oh, sweet, it worked.
But it does work. They get all this food. You get Anthony Clark from like a couple of bad sitcoms doing
I think it's literally two.
A really bad like 90s gay joke guy thing.
It's really, really
hairstylist, blah, 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 blah. It's a part of the movie that doesn't age terribly well.
No, not at all. No. I mean, I don't think it was great then either.
No, no.
But he's doing like is there time for like a carotene treatment or whatever?
I kind of wish if they actually dyed his hair, he had jet black hair this whole movie. That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, dude, yeah. It'd be great. Cut to like after the whole like makeover is done, cut to like Bad to the Bone starts.
Yes. Oh, no, no, no. Don't you have to go to I'm Too Sexy?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, I'm Too Sexy is during the makeover.
Oh, okay.
And then it's like, you want to see what I look like? Na, 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 na. I don't know why he's singing the guitar riff.
It's like dripping down his face. It's so bad. I'd be kind of into that.
He looks pretty sharp.
Yeah, you can see it's a nice haircut. It's
not bad.
It's the Hunt for Red October cut. You know what I mean?
It is. He looks a lot like he looks in the Hunt for Red October.
And this is when he throws John Spencer over the roof, which is amazing.
Again, though, when are we getting to this fucking prison island? This is like the Rock prequel. This is like the direct-to-DVD fucking animated thing you bought.
Like the Animatrix?
Yes, it is. It's the Animatrix of the Rock, the first 45 to 55 minutes of this 2-hour and 16-minute movie.
He flings him over, and now we have a very long chase sequence that takes up a lot of this movie.
It doesn't need to be here at all.
I think it's a law that if you film a movie in this great town, mm-hmm. you got to be hucking those cars over the fucking hill crest.
That's right.
Even if it has nothing to do
and
with
guess
the movie.
What? That was played out, so we're going to add a trolley disaster in the mix.
Oh, yeah, we are. This starts looking like a bad Disney World ride, by the way.
Dude, the way this trolley shit goes down, people should have fucking wristbands that say trolley strong on them. Because,
totally.
Like, it's a...
This would be on the news.
We are lowering fucking flags across town with this.
Ed Harris knows about this.
Yes. He hears about it. Like, oh. All right, everybody, hostages, I just want to let you know there's a huge trolley disaster in San Francisco. You're lucky you're here, by the way. We're going to take a moment of silence for all that perished in the trolley disaster.
So it's like, so Sean Connery steals a Humvee or whatever,
yeah.
Right? And he knocks into this trolley, which causes the disaster, which includes it like exploding and flying into the sky?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, because as everybody here knows, all of those trolley cars are just filled with TNT.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're powered on.
Yeah.
Acme brand fucking trolley.
Yep. It's just a bit much.
It's a lot much.
I think if that occurred while we're at The Rock, I'd be fine with it. I wouldn't even question how you got a trolley car there in the first place.
Well,
is it amphibious? I don't give a shit. At least it took place at the jail. The titular spot of this film.
All of a sudden, the guy who has the rockets that turn your sons and daughters into soup becomes a second story to the great trolley disaster. The biggest disaster since fucking San Francisco scene since the great earthquake of 1906.
And, yes.
And you're telling me the same day a guy's hanging off a building by the arm? This, by
busy
the way,
day.
John Spencer's arm would just fly right off, right?
Oh, definitely.
He's like 70 years old in this movie. That thing's ripping right off.
That might be my favorite line. Oh, man!
Yeah, John Spencer's too old to be saying, oh, man.
His arm is about to be ripped off, and it's, oh, man.
Well, he's also swatting pigeons like it's a Naked Gun movie out there.
Oh, my God, it's amazing. I think that was like an ill-timed thing. They accidentally just hit him.
Yeah, so like they were driving around. The trolley disaster happens. The president has to visit San Francisco.
All right, we're putting a stay. I know I said you had 24 hours, but after I heard about this trolley disaster, the timeline has stopped for our terrorist attack. We're going to put it on pause. I think Bruce Springsteen wrote a song about this. The concert for the trolley car.
Look, Ed Harris, I can maybe get you the vice president. I don't know what to tell you. Everybody else is at the trolley disaster.
Yeah, the NFL's helmets would change after this. For at least a month.
My favorite part of John Spencer going over that the rooftop there, and this is indicative throughout the movie, a lot of really awesome close-ups that you can tell it's the stunt double.
Mm-hmm.
And John Spencer, if you don't know John Spencer, he was like Leo McGarry on The West Wing. He's like an old short guy.
He's dead now, right?
Yeah, he passed away.
Yes.
Oh, in a blues explosion?
Fuck, that's awful.
I thought about that backstage.
But I love that, like, little John Spencer goes over this roof, and then, like, it's Robert Mitchum's fucking hanging from it. They don't do a good job at matching up these stunt doubles, and it's hilarious.
He's built like a linebacker. Yeah, so, but Sean Connery, his whole thing is he wants to talk to his daughter real quick, who is Claire Forlani, who's dressed like fucking Silent Bob in this movie. Anyone see the size of this coat?
Dude, it's like, she's getting dressed. It's like, you're going to give me this, like, fucking floor-length brown duster?
I need to talk to you, Jade. Don't give me the snoochie boochies again. You and the damn snoochie boochies.
You and your very loud friend.
Right in your Blunt Man and Kronos t-shirt or whatever.
And like they have this like whole scene where you find out that he when he escaped the Rock, he had sex with the lady after a Led Zeppelin concert. By the way, get the fuck out of San Francisco, dude.
Oh wait, hold on. They're getting the lead out up the street.
You know, I haven't used my pencil in a bit. Get the lead out of that one.
Shit, I pulled out. It's supposed to be 99% effective. Stupid Catholic school education. It's like, well, I was gonna beat it out of town, and then I heard the first few bars of Stairway. About-faced that shit.
So, like, Nicolas Cage does him a solid here. He pretends that he's working with the FBI and not that he literally killed 70 people on the way here.
Oh, yeah, the carnage.
The carnage,
yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Carnage.
She'd be like, oh, my God, Dad, it's...
Carmageddon.
It was dumb. It was dumb. Uh-huh. It was dumb.
And it will truly be carnage.
Oh, that's also dumb.
Yes.
Aren't they holding him and the Rock at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
Is Woody Harrelson in fucking Alcatraz?
Yeah. And the end of Venom, anyway, if people don't know.
Right.
Woody Harrelson's got that scene. It's carnage, and he's saying that.
Right. He's wearing that fucking Ronald McDonald wig.
He's like, yeah. I just got my license. There's going to be carnage.
Are they going to do that? Is that movie happening?
So.
Oh, yeah. It's totally happening, man.
Good.
Strap in, man. Strap the one-way ticket to Stupid City.
So Michael Biehn shows up in this movie?
Right. Terminator's Michael Biehn.
Mm-hmm. You don't get
to
see...
Yeah, that's the appropriate amount of applause for Michael
Biehn. Yeah, that's about right.
Careful, he might be here. He doesn't have much to do.
He's doing something.
Is there a local con?
Yeah, he's going to Comic-Con. he's like running the Navy SEALs, which I think he was also in the film Navy SEALs as well.
He was.
Yeah. So he's like running the team, and this is when they find out like Sean Connery actually needs to go to the island to do this stuff.
Right. And there's a line here where you blink and you miss it, right? But I think it's really important. Michael Biehn tells them that they have to do this during the day because at night the mission would be upset due to the full moon. Werewolves? I had to rewind it. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I guess it's supposed to be the moon is too bright when it's full, but you cannot say full moon in a motion picture without werewolves.
Our nation for too long has disrespected veterans and werewolves. And we are uniting on the island of Alcatraz. Ed Harris out.
These werewolves died for their country. They weren't even given a goddamn military burial.
Well, they just kind of like burn them, you know?
Yeah. But no, you gotta
put a werewolf to sleep, you know, and then it gets burned.
Oh, yeah,
you get the little jar afterwards.
It's like that this
dead dog jokes.
dead dogs. Anyway, so.
Sorry, Eric, what were you saying?
That this general who ran black ops missions and secret wars are mad that they're not all public.
Yeah, you signed that NDA, dude.
So
this is the life.
Is his end game like World War or something? Like,
well, no, he just wants everybody to get like $1 million each. Is the idea like all the people that died under my command? But meanwhile, when he slaughters these Navy SEALs, he's got to up the money now because that's another black op that you got to keep going.
Oh, you got to compensate those guys.
Yeah,
right. Like that dude you pushed down the stairs hilariously.
Yes, I love that guy.
That dude eats shit. It's fucking so funny.
So they find out that they have to go to the Rock, and they go to the Rock, right?
Yeah.
Finally, they go to the
Rock.
It's
like an hour in. There's like scuba gear involved. By the way, Sean Connery would have a fucking heart attack. This guy is 80 years old. He's eaten prison food for the last 40. Like, he's not in tip-top shape, man.
No, not at all.
And right when he gets there, he has to go through like this weird like double dare course, but it's like shooting fire and shit.
Well, why would this machine be turned on?
Yeah, why is it still going?
Because I think it was like a prison / haunted castle.
Okay.
Right.
I saw that show, Alcatraz, man. There was spooky shit going on.
No, but the best part is when he found the tag up the fake nose.
The boogers came out.
Well, it's kind of great because he's like, oh, I've got to go, and the only way to do this is this incredible stunt. Hey, before I do this incredible stunt, for no reason, I'm just going to put this ski mask on. It's like, who are you hiding your identity from? These fucking Navy SEALs, dude?
If those werewolves get a glimpse at me, I'm finished.
Now I have to do this very precise or I'm going to get Nickelodeon gacked.
I think it's probably from the heat because you can't lose those eyebrows.
Yeah.
I have to make my face more flammable.
Because the ski mask soaked in gasoline.
It'll take the attention off my body.
And like Michael Biehn's about to go and he's like, no, you can't come in yet. Hold on, hold on. Get back.
Welcome to the Rock.
Right? Like, no, Michael Biehn, hang on a second. We need a line for the trailer.
No,
let
take
me come
that
through again.
No, let me do it again.
Welcome to the Rock.
Yes, I think that was the one.
Michael, do you need another one? I can go again.
And they left that in the movie.
They really, truly...
Here's did. Alcatraz!
Man, I thought about that, and I didn't say it, and I should have. What a response.
What a great response.
Yeah, no, but... Yeah.
Michael, actually, the title The Rock is going better than Alcatraz.
Welcome. What is this going to open the door and go, Alcatraz?
Alakazam!
It's showtime! Oh no, Beetlejuice did that one.
Here's Johnny!
Yippee-ki-yay, Prison Island!
Welcome to hell!
Are you going to bark all day, prison doggy, or are you going to bite?
This is Sparta.
Yeah.
Just opens the door. Rosebud, nope.
That's the movie. I know it's a little late in the day because he's been retired for a while, but Sean Connery as Gerard Butler's grandfather. Let's do it.
Sure.
You too were named after the dog. My dog, Gerard.
Yeah, that would be rad, actually.
Well, I mean, whenever they do, like, Pineapple Has Fallen or whatever the next one is.
That's just him on vacation fucking spilling a pina colada.
He's in Hawaii.
Ack!
The only way to get out of this problem is get me grandfather involved.
Yeah, and we're both born and bred in the U.S. of A. Don't worry too much about these accents.
Which would make Sean Connery Nick Nolte's father.
Oh, yup.
Oh, yes. Because, wow. Wait, in Angel Has Fallen.
Yes.
That's the new one?
Yes.
Nick Nolte is Gerard Butler's father?
Yes.
Figure that out.
Yeah. Track that one down.
Well, you just have to give Gerard Butler time, and then it all, you know, might come clear.
You came for my seed! Ah, shit, I pulled out. It was supposed to work! Fucking Catholic school! I'll call it Mike!
It.
Yeah.
So they're on the rock, thankfully. By the way, these Marines aren't paying attention to the hostages and aren't paying attention to much. Like,
Wait, the Michael Biehn Marines or the Crooked Marines?
The Crooked Marines, I apologize.
There's a lot of Marines on this island.
Because they're like, oh, they set up traps for the Marine for anyone that might come along. But like, they're just leaving these rockets unattended for the most part.
At one central location.
Yeah, not a great idea.
Not good.
They go in through the shower room. John C. McGinley has set some trap that alerts them to their presence. And then we get, there's so many scenes in this movie that are like a bad one-act play where it's like it's Michael Biehn and Ed Harris going at it about the fucking valor and all this shit.
It's just like macho military guys yell talking at each other. Like,
yes.
You need to stand down. Put your arms down on the ground. I cannot obey that order, sir.
Michael Biehn's whole
argument. What the hell is wrong with you, man?
Biehn's, what he says, though, is weird because he's like, listen, Ed Harris. On its face, I think this is a pretty great plan. Yeah. It's just the way in which you're executing it is a bit of a problem.
You know what? It's not stupid. Okay? I don't think it's stupid at all.
That General Hummel had some good ideas, man.
Oh, right. Ed Harris's name is Hummel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He invented the figurine.
So all these Marines are kind of murdered pretty unceremoniously. These the Navy SEALs,
the Bean Marines.
Yeah. They get pretty much murdered.
We're using different armed services interchangeably, by the way.
That's sad.
Very disrespectful.
Wait, what are they? Oh, they're SEALs.
They're Navy SEALs. Yeah, nice. The bad guys are Marines, actually.
Oh. Yeah. And Sean Connery was in the Army, though.
Yes.
That's the third.
He was in British intelligence.
Yeah. Like another character he played.
Oh,
right?
I think this movie was like edging, trying to fucking make an actual James Bond thing.
Yeah.
Like they were trying to get him to actually say MI6 and he doesn't. He comes close. He just kept refusing,
yeah,
probably.
He pulled out.
Of what?
Of saying it.
Bond things?
Sure,
oh,
yeah.
See. So he did agree at one point, then he changed his mind.
He started to do it, and then he, the last second.
When he orders the snacks, he could have ordered a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Oh, that's right. God.
Right.
They would have got sued, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, probably.
Somebody.
Those broccolis will take you to fucking court, dude. Don't fuck with the broccoli family.
Absolutely, dude. They're very litigious.
Take you right to the salad bar.
So these Navy SEALs are dead, and now, it's our nerdy Nicolas Cage character and this crazy Sean Connery character. And the rest of the movie is Nicolas Cage convincing Sean Connery to continue to be in the movie. He's like, I'm leaving the fucking movie. It's like, no, man, you gotta wait. The movie's back this way. Like, that's half of the movie.
Sean Connery has, like, one foot in the escape boat the entire time.
And, like, they go to this morgue, which is where most of the rockets are held. And this is a great action sequence where Sean Connery, again, who's been fucking eating gruel for 40 years, is just chucking swords at people's necks and shit.
Yeah.
And, like, it's amazing. He's like Bullseye.
Yeah.
He is like Bullseye. Oh, that would be great if he played Bullseye's dad.
That's a Daredevil villain.
Yes,
right?
It is.
I taught my son to throw things. He made a career out of it. Good for him. He's bitter, too. Bullseye's bitter dad.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what that
is. I used to be able to throw better than he could. Don't see anyone putting it in the paper.
I got a lot. Yeah, now he's just smoking a cigarette at a table. The only thing I'm throwing is beers down me gullet these days.
You know, technically, Daredevil's a better marksman than you. I'm just saying.
He's fucking blind. You're not blind.
Bullseye had father issues, huh?
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's very sad.
Oh, I thought you were walking me right into a pun with that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just revealing a harsh reality.
Oh. Oh, Bullseye, no. Oh, no.
Around here is when John Spencer has this conversation with William Forsythe, which is the best thing in the movie. William Forsythe is like, so tell me, who's this Sean Connery guy?
And William Forsythe stands in for the audience. Like, could you tell me what the fuck's going on in this movie?
Like, why do we care about this guy?
This is fucking insane.
And he talks about how, like, in the early 60s or something, he was tasked with stealing microfiche.
Sure.
From J. Edgar Hoover.
Yep.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah,
it's
he robbed the FBI's
biggest secrets.
Yeah.
Which includes...
Well, then John Spencer's, like, going to reel off some of the things that he knows about. And the first one that he blows right by is, the alien landing at Roswell. Also, the Kennedy assassination.
Excuse me. Alien landing? Wasn't it always a crash? It was a successful landing?
Yeah, dude, they nailed it.
Then Sean Connery found out about it?
So this whole time is like, fucking aliens. When are the aliens coming to get me out of this prison?
You know, if you knew about the aliens, you wouldn't be fucking pissing your pants about Alcatraz.
You know, Gremulok owes me a favor.
But it is the job. Listen, if anyone tells you that someone, especially if they casually mention this, they have concrete evidence of alien existence, and they blow past it.
Yeah.
You are contractually obligated by humanity to stop that person and ask them to repeat that first thing about aliens in the greatest of detail.
Can I get a recorder here?
Well, no, I think the idea is, like, William Forsythe is high up enough in the FBI where they, like, I guess, like, after you pass your like, sergeant exam, they're like, okay, cool, you get a 60% pay raise, you know, your benefits go up, 3 more sick days. Oh, and by the way, aliens exist.
Okay, yeah. Great. That's great. So what's the copay situation?
And after 3 years, you get to know about JFK.
You know, fuck JFK, dude. Aliens!
Yes!
A lot of people fucked him.
Yeah. I'd want to know about the aliens, too.
Era, I've been impregned.
This is era where Danny DeVito put it.
They're multiplying. It's a John.
I kind of like the idea of, like, Sean Connery, like, the only way I got out of the rock the first time, which was alien interference. Does anyone have a transporter beam to get me back out of the rock?
See, you should have asked me before we swam here. But you can't, I mean, and also, like, the fault of this movie, too. You can't just drop that.
No.
That's not in this movie.
It's a silly line that, like, stops the movie dead if you think about it for even 3 seconds.
I paused it and walked around the room for a little bit.
You're huffing and puffing in your apartment.
It's so stunningly out of place.
So then we're just kind of like doing cat and mouse on the rock. We have a fucking minecart scene.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of another film I did that I don't remember anything about. I mean, it gets very Indiana Jones.
It does.
This is stupid.
Is that shit under that jail? Does anybody know?
Well,
fucking
you,
Diddy Kong's minecart racing? The shit.
The aliens used to mine the secret materials under here.
It's almost dumber than saying aliens exist in this movie. Look out, short round. We're on the rock. And like, this doesn't work.
I kind of like that they get into the cart and they're going, and then like Ed Harris's team is like, well, I guess we got to mine cart chase them. Like, we're not. I'm not gonna run after him. You never very rarely get to get into a minecart chase.
No, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Twice if you're lucky.
After you murder those guys, you like feel really good about yourself. Like, it was a minecart and I murdered that guy.
It was fun and I was successful at what I was doing.
You know what I did? I threw a grenade back at them.
You know,
which happens like fantastic. Three times in this movie, by the way. You get that once.
I feel like it's rude to throw a grenade back at somebody after they throw it, right?
I agree with that.
They gave you a gift?
Like cheating.
It's,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this guy went through the trouble of pulling the pin and throwing it. You can't just throw it back.
Yeah. You can't pick a bullet out of yourself and throw it back at someone. Yeah, you shouldn't be able to do that with a grenade.
It's like if somebody zings you really hard and you go, not! Like, you know, you can't do that.
Wait, so someone zings you and then you're just yelling, not?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just throw it back in here. Hey.
It's just not polite combat.
Just it's not nice. No. Not nice behavior.
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. John C. McGinley burns up like a fucking Christmas tree in this scene.
Dude, love they it. Torch him like it's the fucking Salem witch trials. Feet first.
We're going to find out if you're a witch, John C. McGinley.
Oh, no, he's not.
He's in heaven now, then, I guess. Nice.
This is where Cage starts taking lives, though.
Oh, yes.
He gets that first thrill of the kill.
Yeah.
He's excited about it. Because the whole thing is, like, he's an FBI agent, but he's, like, a chemical dude, so they had, like, 3 weeks of gun training.
Yeah.
And then he's just been in the nerd lab, you know? Mm-hmm. So they're all making fun of him, but he saves Sean Connery's life in this situation.
By killing someone.
Yeah, and he gets thrilled by it.
Kabong. Yeah.
Like a true Beatlemaniac.
We kind of skip past it, what the weapon is, this VX gas thing, and it's in these weird little pearl things that look like they're filled with delicious Heineken. Did anyone else notice that?
I've been thinking about eating these things.
Yeah.
For 23 years now.
They look delicious.
They look like they're filled with awesome lime Jell-O. Or the other thing I think about these sometimes, they look like really relaxing bath beads.
Mm.
You know, maybe it's like a mint thing or something.
Or like a
drop that in a hot VX gas bath.
Oh, you'll just melt into your bath.
Looks like a very delicious Tide Pod, right? Huh, millennials? You still eating them?
Did that ever happen? Still? Is that happening?
No.
What?
That's like the razor blade
maybe
of the apple.
Maybe once. Who knows?
No, that definitely happened, dude.
Eating Tide Pods?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Is it? Oh, someone's going to YouTube tonight.
My question.
Yeah, you can watch like fucking spoiled little white kids kill themselves. It's great.
Not great.
Are these pearl things made of glass or are they gooey? Because sometimes they clink around like glasses.
They ka-trunk, and then there's also the goo sound.
It's a very gooey situation.
Gooey inside the glass.
Oh, it's like, okay, so it's like
a candy coated outer.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's like a jawbreaker.
Okay.
Those are gooey in the middle?
Maybe, I don't know.
No, there's no
ever?
Like,
you don't think there's ever a gooey jawbreaker?
Absolutely not.
How is it going to break your jaw if it's gooey, Chris, you fucking idiot?
Because the outer shell is so hard.
I got it, by the way. Tootsie Pop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The lollipop with the Tootsie inside.
Yeah.
So they got all these Tootsies in this
rocket. But this is gooey. It's not chewy.
Yeah.
You got me there.
I mean, wouldn't it make more sense just to like fill it with liquid as opposed to like fucking, I don't know, put these things in the freezer or whatever's going on?
Something, it's the chemical makeup.
Sure.
Yada, yada. The rock.
They do look delicious.
They look so good.
And we're like removing the chip, the guidance chip, by the way.
The guidance chip.
Which renders the rocket useless.
Mm. But not all the way useless.
No.
Like you can still launch
explode.
It.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, Why don't you, like, you know, break the fucking gas line that makes the rocket go? Not this guidance chip.
But then it's definitely coming back at you.
Well, yeah, because, like, oh, Ed Harris, like, you know what? I'm gonna burn down that other prison with this gas. Uh-oh, it went to a fucking school. The guidance chip was very important.
I'm not supposed to do it at schools here. Overseas, I'm supposed to do it at schools. And I'm mad that we're not being compensated for all that murder.
Guys, don't be shocked. We do it more than you think.
It's happening right now.
And right now.
And there goes
right
another.
Now.
So yeah, we're murdering Marines and stuff. This is when they've taken out like most of the rockets at this point, and then
Connery hucks a knife through a dude's throat like Jason Voorhees.
Yes, it's very
not
good.
Too shabby.
And then he like drops a fucking air conditioner from the Civil War on his head.
Yeah,
I think that was America's first air conditioner. Was on Alcatraz, yes. And they just left it.
Franklin Air Conditioner was stationed here. He was a god, and he developed this.
That was John Adams' air conditioner.
Oh, I need an air conditioner. It's hot in here.
Paul Giamatti as John Adams.
I'm sweating off my fucking powdered wig. Can you believe I'm married to Laura Linney?
A dab? Can I get a dab for the forehead?
Second president.
And so at this point they remember they have hostages. They're like, well, we're gonna implore them with this like this whiny guy named Larry Henderson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, Larry Henderson.
Poor Larry Henderson.
And I get it, Larry Henderson, you're in a very stressful and terrifying situation, but this guy is a true and total coward.
Well, he's had such a day. Those cells are so small he had to shit in front of like 15 people.
Yeah.
They're like on top of each other.
This guy is just like kind of blubbering a bit too much, and it makes the movie like a little serious for a second.
Yeah.
When are the pizza boats coming? I'm starving.
I promise pizza boats. Where are they?
Oh, it sank.
Where are the bathroom boats?
Boats of bathrooms.
This just in after the trolley disaster, another fatal disaster, the sinking of the Pizzatania.
The Domino's Pizzatania.
This is San Francisco Bay ran red with marinara that night.
These fish are going to be eating garlic sauce for a decade. It's the world's largest pizza boat. It's unsinkable.
I hope you're insured.
Looks like the hull was made of thin crust.
Well, gentlemen, it's been an honor serving with you.
Gonna rearrange these garlic knots on this deck.
Women, children, and boneless buffalo wings first. Get out of here, Billy Zane!
Billy Zane is the Noid.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He would be the Noid. Oh,
role of a lifetime, dude. Also, he's kind of dressed like it in The Phantom already.
Yeah.
If that shit was red and he had a pogo stick, same movie. Replace that horse with a pogo stick. Billy Zane as the Noid, absolutely.
If we passed around a hat, we can get enough money to get Billy Zane to do the Noid movie right now. Uh-huh. There's enough folks in the audience.
Oh my goodness, I could pay my cable bill. Noid it is.
Is he on Cameo?
Yeah, yeah. See, oh yeah, he could do that. I don't even remember where the fuck we were because we're talking about pizza boats. Oh, no, the
air conditioner fell.
No, the hostage guy.
Yeah. Oh,
this is when Sean Connery meets Ed Harris, and they have, like, a tete-a-tete a bit here.
A little bit, yeah. It's not too bad. Two, like, real titans of the craft going at it on screen.
Another Voorheesing is Nick Cage gets, like, this big Marine, like, rips his arms through a house and pulls Nicolas Cage through it.
Yeah, that was a jump scare in The Rock. Also not needed.
And they wind up getting both captured, and now they're prisoners on the Rock, which makes a lot of sense.
Ooh.
Meanwhile, we lost a couple of Marines.
Who are you asking?
God.
Okay. Yes, Eric, I do. Another great joke.
I know Ed Harris lost a lot of his team. You gotta put, you A, either kill these guys, or B, put one guard on them. Like, literally yes. one dude.
Just any, like, the lowest on the totem pole at this point, which is, I think, is Bokeem Woodbine in this movie.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
just,
probably.
Just ask him to stand there.
All right, we lost 40 of our guys. Put them in the cell with nothing on it.
This guy is famous for one thing and one thing alone, fucking breaking out of this place.
It's a really good point.
Stupid.
This is where we get a great line from Nick Cage, where he's like, okay, but, so you did all that, but how in Zeus's butthole did you get out of your cell?
Which is an improvised line, as we're told, or so the legend goes, right?
The legend of IMDb yes. trivia, yeah.
And you can imagine, like, Michael Bay's, like, in the headset, like, the fuck did he say? Say, Zeus's, what was that, butthole?
Butthole?
All right, print. Keeping that gold.
So Sean Connery makes, like, this, like, latch out of his bed sheets
yep.
and throws it and unlocks the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how he got out of his cell, everyone, because when Alcatraz was operating, there were no guards.
Yep.
No other prisoners to make noise.
You could just throw bed sheets with a wrench fucking clanging down the hallway.
Yep.
No problem.
Well, this is when he talks about, like, all the stuff, like, why he never told them where the microfilm was. Cause he's like, they'd fucking suicide me. Like that Jeffrey Epstein chap.
Speaking of which, where's his phone number?
Well, that was on the microfilm as well, as the location of the island.
Not to be confused with Michael Bay's The Island.
No, not that island. No.
No, just that magic conspiracy theory island.
Only two people know where it is, and I'm one of them, baby. Prince for life, Clinton.
You gotta haul ass straight through the Bermuda Triangle, baby. Run through the juicy center. Get to Epstein Island.
Oh, I'm so excited. This better be worth it.
I'm taking my boat that's made out of pizza. Uh-oh, it's sinking.
No, but it's one of those stuffed crusts, so I could drive this boat backwards.
Sure.
I don't know, sort of something.
You just eked it in there right at the end.
I feel like some of you will be in the shower tomorrow laughing about that joke. You're like, you know what? That guy was right.
Driving a boat backwards.
Now that I'm naked, I understand.
Yeah, it wasn't until I was cleaning my crotch the next morning when that joke really hit.
It's sort of like I'm driving my boat backwards right now.
That guy's a genius.
Yep, absolutely. I'm funnier when you're naked.
Name of your autobiography, dude.
That's right. So they escape again, and this is when Ed Harris is kind of, he's balking, right? Because, like, he's supposed to, like, annihilate 60 or 70,000 people, we're told, and he doesn't want to do it, right?
Yeah. He doesn't want to do it. He's having a change of heart, which is this movie kind of being a bit disingenuous here. Like, let the villain be the villain.
Yeah, they're trying to redeem him.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Not good.
Or like if you don't want to kill people, kill thousands of people, you got all these hostages. Blow Larry Henderson's head off.
Yeah.
That guy was whiny anyway.
Or at least pretend to. Like, do a gunshot on
yep.
the phone.
Yep.
We've all done it.
Totally acceptable.
Yeah, that's exactly. How you call out of work.
Exactly. Eric's dead. I'll be in tomorrow though.
I love that though, like, once Navy SEALs like get onto your island and you don't kill anybody as retaliation, the U.S. government's not going to pay your ransom, dude.
Nope, definitely not. And the whole thing goes tits up immediately. Ed Harris kind of knows it right here. As we're, like, thankfully approaching the end of the movie.
Yeah.
No, it's launching out to what looks to be... It's a football game.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But thank God it only goes out into the ocean. That's not going to have any effects.
Take that, marine life. Eat shit once again.
Thank God.
I would love it if, like, John Carpenter directed one scene of all these fucking manatees with their eyes falling out of their heads.
The entire ocean just turns red.
Yes.
Is that'd be cool, because then there'd be an awesome, like, synth score while it was happening. Look at all these dead seals.
Oh, you could, like, pepper in some whale noises, because that sounds like something Right? It sounds like they're crying to death. It's like
VX gas.
No, it goes right into a whale's mouth. Like,
that ain't plankton.
While a slush of 40 dolphins washes up on the shore.
How do you think they get tuna fish, dude?
Yeah,
VX gas.
Most commercial fishing vessels use VX gas.
I don't know, man. You get some of the tuna salad back home at a deli, there's VX gas in that shit. You can taste it.
It's the flavor.
This is when Tony Todd kind of becomes the real villain. Him and some other guy, this white dude's just around in this movie.
Oh, Shins McGee.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a real pronounced butt chin. Pretty handsome.
So we do, like, a lot of people wrote this movie, like, I did passes on it. Quentin Tarantino did do a pass, which you could tell from the Mexican standoff scene.
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely. And also the scene where Sean Connery's looking at Nicolas Cage's feet. Both scenes QT did a pass on.
I'm just saying, Michael, what if he's looking at his feet, man?
Well, all right.
Let me tell you what a hamburger is in Scotland.
Do you know what Madonna's Borderline is actually about?
It's about Scottish hamburgers.
So, yeah, there's this Mexican standoff. Like, Ed Harris is now kind of this reluctant hero, and so is David Morris, who's also in this movie.
Yeah, not enough Morris, man.
No.
And they all
speaking of George Washington.
All right, he played him in...
In that John Adams movie.
Whoa, remember that? John Adams.
6 degrees of Paul Giamatti. Yeah.
Dude, all I need is one. I want to be right next to him.
I was one time.
Oh, really?
Really?
True story.
Okay, go on.
I was going to see Black Panther, and I was waiting on the concession line, you know, and he was in the next one over.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah, that was it. I heard him say, like, he had, like, his son and then, like, a buddy.
What do you order?
Popcorn.
Butter?
After saying,
butter?
I don't remember, but he was like, so what do you kids want? Popcorn? It's like, well, Giamatti, you're at the movies, man. Yeah.
Have I ever told you my Paul Giamatti story?
Yes, and it's way better, so please proceed.
When I was on my honeymoon in Japan, I was walking up to a temple, and coming down the other way was Paul Giamatti. Who then looked at me like I had come to hunt him down.
I always knew this day would come, Chris Cabin.
Was he like astral projecting there? What the fuck is he doing there?
I don't know. He was there with his friend.
He's the Doctor Strange like circle thing and he gets out of there.
Hang on a second. Do you kids want popcorn?
But I've gotten that look from celebrities before. I saw Uma Thurman once, and she's like, oh, fuck this guy. And I'm like, I'm not going to do anything, man. I'm just, you're cool. But she's like, oh, dude, do not be creepy to me, you little weird creep. And I'm like, I didn't do anything, obviously.
Oh, I smell the Tarantino poster on you.
Exactly.
Oh, I smell it.
No, you had a flashback to your college dorm room.
No, you cannot look at my foot, you fucking creep. She was very nice. There's a big Mexican standoff. Ed Harris and David Morris die.
Totally.
So does Bokeem Woodbine. And now it's like just the Tony Todd show at this point.
Tony Todd, best death in the movie. It's right here. Nicolas Cage fucking launches a rocket into his chest and he goes out a window. And if that wasn't enough of an indignity, he fucking falls on a pole that's also wrapped in barbed wire like Mick Foley was wrestling out there.
And then all the bees start coming out.
But
and then it really gets crazy.
And since he's a bad guy, no one will be missling him. I had to get a boo in. Every show, at least one.
It fuels him, really. It does.
I love it.
But if you're Tony,
he's stronger now.
If you're Tony Todd, you have to understand when you're getting set up for a death punchline. Because Nicolas Cage out of nowhere is like, hey, do you like the song Rocket Man? And like Tony Todd standing in front of a rocket, like, yeah, so? Like, I would be like, yeah, so? Like, you know, give it a second. Get away from that fucking rocket aimed at your heart.
Stop talking about random shit with people you're trying to kill.
It's not like, oh, hey, man, do you like fucking, I don't know, like, you like Led Zeppelin. That's like a ray, you know, maybe I'll say yes when I'm standing in front of a fucking rocket.
Yeah, it's an obvious movie.
It's an obvious, yeah. The best death of the movie is the other guy, the white dude.
This is good.
It's tough, man. It's like picking your favorite kid.
So this
I'm told.
Uh-huh.
We're told throughout this movie that these little balls of glass goop are very fragile.
Fragile.
You want to eat them.
Uh-huh.
But they're supposed to be super fragile.
Yeah.
And Nick Cage just puts one in his pocket, falls down like 10 flights of stairs, gets thrown through a window, runs around everywhere, no fucking problem. But then he just shoves one in this dude's mouth and crushes it in there.
Yeah, it's a problem.
If he basically was like, oh my God, this is delicious, and his eyeballs are popping. Like,
oh fuck, it wasn't lime, it was sour apple! Still good, though.
So this guy starts puking his actual guts out.
Oh, yeah, totally. He's like Kevin Spacey in Outbreak.
Oh, yeah, he turns into a DiGiorno pizza real quick.
And now Nick Cage has to inject himself in
the
heart.
He does the thing. No problemo.
Yeah.
Andrew, dead.
He does it, and then Michael Biehn force ghosts him. He's like, remember at the end of the movie to use the green flares. That'll end the look, Nick. You want to get out of this movie? You gotta light those fucking flares, buddy.
This is also after the president has had this monologue where he's like, "Well, this is a really shitty day, and I'm gonna kill all these people, and I never should have run for president. I hate this."
So soon after that trolley disaster.
What a fucking afternoon. So they launch that airstrike, and the dude sees it at the last second. It's so great, and it's like, oh, fuck! And he tries to, pull up. But they still bomb the shit out of Alcatraz.
I feel like if I was in a movie and I have to do an airstrike on something, I'm like, no. I know it's bullshit. It's always bullshit, because, at the end, it's like, you shouldn't do the airstrike, and then, you have to pull away and all that stuff. It always happens.
Yeah.
The Running Man taught us what would happen if you resist, though. The government will set you up, dude.
Oh, they'll that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ben Richards. That was Arnold's name in that movie.
Oh, right.
Remember Ben Richards, hero of Running Man?
So this prison gets bombed, but it's the wrong side of the island, so all those prisoners that nobody cares about are totally fine.
Yes.
The hostage prisoners, whatever.
I guess we never see them again.
Right.
They could be all dead.
Right. Maybe they were vaporized after all. Fingers crossed.
No, they were fine. They all went back. They went to their families. It was fine. They're not dead.
But Cage gets blown off the island into the water, and Connery jumps in and saves him. And the second the two of them get back up to the surface, the most inappropriate fucking flute score starts playing. It's the last scene in Braveheart.
This also happened when Sean Connery was talking to his daughter. It's like he's a leprechaun or something. I don't even understand this.
What were they thinking?
I want to marry you.
No. Just no.
If a character isn't on horseback,
yes.
Get that flute out of here.
I need to be near the Moors.
Yes. And this is when, he's he's got the phone, and John Spencer calls, it's for you. And he's like, where's Mason? And Connor's like, I'm dead. Tell him I'm dead. Tell him I'm dead.
Vaporized. Vaporized.
Oh, he had a heart attack on the toilet. He's dead.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fine. I'll take it.
He'll do.
So, yeah, he helps him fake his death or whatever. And then, maybe he'll go see Claire Forlani. Maybe not, because she's not in the movie anymore.
Nope.
No.
I'm glad he spent 20 minutes to find her, though. That's for sure. He does also, he's like, oh, if you're ever looking for, your name is Goodspeed. You know that means Godspeed, which means good journey. Yeah, no, don't leave the movie theater yet. I've got a good one.
Yeah.
And he's just like, if you're looking for a good journey, you can go to Wichita, Kansas and find the secret about the aliens that I know.
I think it was Fort Walton.
Oh, Fort Walton, yeah.
Yeah, you guys should actually go there, try to find this. It might be real.
He says it's under a pew in a church or something. Yeah. So the last scene of this movie is Nicolas Cage robbing a church.
Yeah.
The pastor's chasing after him, you damn conspiracy theorists.
Also, there's a bulldog at the end of this movie. I feel like that was a test screening thing. There could have been a dog in the movie. Like, well, the dog can't be on the island.
Yeah, that, like, green ball looked pretty delicious and everything, but why doesn't somebody have a bulldog?
All right, we're replacing their baby with a dog, okay? I imagine it was really originally shot with the child. I don't know.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just put a little baby in there?
Why not?
This dog has never been.
We've been talking about the baby. Show the fucking baby.
But also, you're about to have a child. Now you're bringing a dog into this situation. Your apartment's going through a lot of stress.
You found this fucking footage that tells you about aliens? And that's the fucked up thing. The last line of this movie is him being like, you want to know who shot JFK? I'd be like, no, tell me about the aliens.
Honey, you want to know who really killed Epstein?
Not unless it was an alien. And that is the end of the movie The Rock. Now, that's since it. This is technically a We Love Movies show,
yeah.
Steve Sadek, does this movie hold up?
It really does. I mean, like, there's actually the only, like, sort of problematic stuff is the Anthony Clark bit and, like, some of the weird stuff. But mostly it's really good. The action's a lot of fun. It reminds me of a time when, like, these were blockbusters. Like, movies about, like, people fucking throwing swords at their own necks and all sorts of shit.
At their own necks?
Sure. I don't know. That sentence went all sorts of wrong. It's in my brain. It made a lot of sense.
That sank faster than a pizza boat, dude.
That's what happened. That's what happened to Epstein. He threw a sword at his own fucking neck.
Yeah, he sworded himself. Threw that sword right at his own neck.
I'm glad that sorted itself out.
It's believable.
I'm going to leave that alone and probably stop talking. So yes was the answer to your question.
I also think the movie holds up. I was not expecting it to, really. I haven't seen this in so many years.
Right.
Trolley Disaster, it's a little long in the tooth. I feel like they could have cut back some of this shit, but they just needed more action set pieces.
I guess so, yeah.
No, fuck yeah, it's the best movie.
Number one?
It's
number
the best, one? It's the best movie.
Number one.
I mean, it's the best Bay movie by far.
Oh, well, yeah, that's not... I mean,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I could talk again. It's the best Bay movie by far.
Yeah. That's not even up for discussion.
Yeah, what they said. It totally holds up.
Yeah.
So we have to start wrapping up, unfortunately. We want to thank you guys for coming out here. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Thank you, guys.
This is our first time in your beautiful city, and we had a real nice visit. Big thanks to Cobbs for having us, of course. Now, if you're familiar with the We Hate Movies live show, we love to end every hangout sesh with a little correspondence from the Internet Movie Database, which, if you don't know...
It's the best kind.
It's the greatest place to find information and awesome, legit opinions about movies. So we just have one for you tonight.
It's the best source for sane thinkings.
Totally.
Well said.
So... Sentence well done.
I'm not throwing stones on this end. I'll play that much.
You sound Steve now. So this is 1 out of 10 stars.
Oh, come on.
Subject line, one of the worst movies ever.
Whoa.
Written by not Rick, but Other Rick.
Wait, what?
Just a dude, his handle is Other Rick. It's stupid. I don't know. It's an IMDb handle. Who cares?
Yeah, okay.
Just telling you so you can find it later, Cabin.
Okay.
Written June 25th, 2004.
Uh-huh.
So we're right. I guess, approaching the 10-year anniversary almost.
He might be dead.
Uh-huh.
It's been a long time.
No, Rick is dead. Other Rick is still kicking. I love to bring... this guy sucks. I love to bring up this movie in casual conversation. Other Rick is a dick.
Yeah. I don't like this already.
Someone says, that was a pretty good movie. But after I point out two or three things, they usually admit that it not a good movie in any way.
It not a good movie?
I'm reading it how he's writing it, man.
I kind of love the idea of someone just even mildly like, that was kind of a cool movie. No, it wasn't, and here's why.
Lock the door. Everyone sit down. Here's two... or three things.
How long you got?
That's kind of what we did tonight.
Yeah.
Mom, get my laptop. It's PowerPoint time.
Yes, dear. The plot has holes big enough to drive a Mack truck.
Oh!
Vroom, vroom.
You can drive a truck through it.
Soldiers who died in a declared war had their deaths covered up? Why?
That's the fucking point of the fucking movie.
Because that's what they wrote, man. Like,
all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Everyone in the world knew here they were and what they were doing.
Did I write that?
What?
Dude, he's other Rick. A man is kept in prison for 30 years with no charges and no convictions and no one notices. Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that one happens non-stop. All the time.
100%.
Fucking wake up call of this other Rick. A dozen men can steal a dozen weapons of mass destruction, including missiles, in 10 minutes with dart guns? Yeah, okay. I'll give him that one.
That's fair, other
Rick. You should be
Rick.
Killing these people. Or at least tying them up or something.
Yeah.
SEALs can't figure out how to open a locked door? I don't even know what that reference is.
I mean, I guess they... I don't think SEALs actually can because they're animals.
Uh-huh. I think they're
It was all cap SEALs.
I think they're referring to the door to The Rock. that Sean Connery has to go through the maze for and
yeah, again,
beat the
fucking
Minotaur.
Yeah, again, they couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
That's why they hired him. Yeah. That's the movie, other yeah. Rick. That is the movie. All right, here we go. You get the idea. I can't get through 3 minutes of this movie without shaking my head in disgust. We are We Hate Movies from New York City, everybody. Thank you for coming out, San Francisco.
Out.
We will see you next time. Bye bye.
You have been a treat.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.